a complicated concept like cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, all that stuff you keep hearing about, explained simply, explained so simply that a sixth standard student, a third standard student will understand what crypto means and aspects of it from this crypto basics conversation. This is Sumit Gupta, the founder of one of India's biggest crypto-based companies, CoinDCX, sharing the knowledge he studied for the last 10 years. 10 years of knowledge packed into 30 minutes. Enjoy yourselves. Sumit Gupta, firstly, welcome to the Ranveer Show.
Thank you, Ranveer.
Secondly, you're one of the most insightful people I've met in my life. I met you 2 years back in Bangalore.
Yes, in Bangalore.
You were talking about cryptocurrency to me then.
Yes.
I was like, bhai, main podcast karne ka soch raha hoon. I'm going to plan something very cool around crypto. And when the time is right, we'll have you on the show. The time is right.
Time is right here.
Why has crypto gotten so hyped in the last 2-3 weeks? I'd probably say in the last 1-2 months maybe. What has happened?
Sure. So what has happened in the last 1 year is COVID happened. And you would have seen a lot of countries printing trillions of dollars, money coming into the system. So what has happened here is that the fiat currency, that is INR, US dollar, euro that we hold, is devaluing over time.
Matlab, all currencies of the world, so a rupee, a yen, whatever, Australian dollar, they value themselves against the American dollar.
So they are related. What has happened earlier, whatever fiat currency that we had was backed by gold until 1972-73. Uske baad se, the money that you have that comes into the system, that is no longer pegged to gold. And the governments can print as much money as they want. Now we have seen US printing trillions of dollars, which is equivalent to the GDP of India. Now imagine that much of new money coming into the system. The value, the things that we can purchase with that 100 rupees future, right? You will not be able to buy that much. So the inflation can happen. The value of our fiat currency is going down over time. Pehle 100 rupaye mein bahut cheeze aati thi, aaj 100 rupaye mein kuch bhi nahi aata hai. Right? And as we are progressing, that money will continue to devalue over time. So what people do is, people use that money to invest in certain instruments. Now all of that money is new coming into the system. Right? And our fiat is getting devalued. So people have started putting more money into Bitcoin. Why Bitcoin? Because earlier people used to put money in gold, real estate, equity markets. Now equity market is already at peak. Real estate is not giving that much returns. So what people have done is people have started seeing Bitcoin as a good store of value. People of our age, they don't buy gold now. They buy Bitcoin. Right? That's a very good hedge against inflation. So whatever happens, you'll have Bitcoin. So a lot of people, including companies like Tesla, PayPal, they have started putting their cash reserves in Bitcoin. Right? So that they can, that if that appreciates in value, their cash doesn't deplete over time.
So basically, at its core, if you want to become rich, if you want a good investment strategy, cryptocurrencies in general are one place you can look at and say, huh, if I invest my money here, it's likely that I will get profits over time.
It's a very good portfolio diversification. If you have 1 lakh rupees, you can put 50,000 rupees in mutual funds, 20,000 rupees in stocks, 10,000 rupees in, let's say, real estate. But you should have a part of your portfolio into crypto, primarily Bitcoin, which is the store of value. So it's a very good hedge against inflation and very good asset to have as a part of your portfolio.
So I feel ki you are a crypto expert. You're from the crypto world. I'm not. I'm a content creator. And I am looking at investing my own money. But I use a lot of Twitter. And that's the place where I learn a lot. Now, I've heard Elon Musk talk about crypto. I've heard Kunal Shah talk about crypto. I've heard all these amazing... Naval Ravikant talks so much about crypto. They are people I look up to. They are people who've achieved something in their life. And they are talking so much about taking a part of your money and putting it into crypto. The whole world of Twitter is talking about it. I want to learn the basics again while I know the basics. I want to ask you some more advanced questions, which maybe we'll do in the second part of this podcast. But bro, matlab, if you had to explain crypto to a 3-4 year old, how would you explain it? Like, what is it?
Sure. So let's look at the real world example. When we interact with each other, there are various ways we transfer value, right? We either give value in form of money or in form of information. Now, when we do this trade of value or information, we need middlemen. Right? For example, if you want to take a cab, you need companies like Uber, Ola. If you want to buy a product online, you need Amazon. So these are the companies who build this level of trust between two individuals directly transacting with each other. Right? Why? Because if two people want to communicate, they need a central party. Now imagine the world where you don't need these middlemen. And two people can directly transact or exchange value with each other without trusting a centralized party, because centralized party can be corrupted, right? There, in future, if there is a way you can transact or transfer this value over the internet, that's what blockchain provides.
So blockchain is basically a technology that decentralizes.
So you are no longer trusting a single entity. Right now we trust banks. But we have seen what happened to the banks in the past, right? We don't have full transparency of how they operate. In a decentralized manner, you will have full visibility. The entire ledger is public and you can trust the system more without without the need to trust a centralized party, because the system is designed in a way.
Yeah, one second, bro. Let me just get this straight. So, say the case of a Punjab National Bank or any other bank that probably shut down. Now, if I put all my money into that Punjab National Bank, and every time I was trying to make a payment using a debit card from that bank, but it's shut down, it's going through a lot of shit, then your payment doesn't happen. Maybe you're going to, say, a Zara to purchase something. And I give that Punjab National Bank card or any other bank card which has kind of, it's going through a rough time. It may not work.
It may not.
Because of their flaw. Like Punjab National Bank messed up their management, or that particular bank messed up their work. And then your money and your spending power gets affected.
Yes.
So you're saying that blockchain will remove that gap between you and a Zara purchase.
Yes. In order to do a transaction, you don't need a bank. You can directly transfer between two individuals. Now the money that we have, right, we trust someone that the money has value. But where did it come from, right?
Where did the trust come from?
Yeah, so where did the trust come from? Because we trust these middlemen or these brokers to build that level of trust.
Just because that's how society operates.
That's how society operates. Earlier, if you look at the evolution of money, thousands of years back, people used to transact in gold, right? There were coins that were made out of gold. And now then, because gold based transactions are difficult to do, then we shifted to a paper money, right? Which used gold as a pegging mechanism. Now that has evolved. Like in those several years, now money is not pegged by anything, right? So tomorrow, if a bank fails down without you, your mistake, you are getting affected. You know, if you look at 2008 financial crisis, what happened? That was a mistake by some of the banks where they have given bad loans and the whole world got into recession. That should not happen. And that's where Bitcoin was born, right? A pseudonymous name called Satoshi Nakamoto. He came up with a way where how can you build a monetary system without the need to trust banks? And you are sure that if you own certain Bitcoins, that completely belongs to you. It does not have, need assurance from anyone else, from a centralized party. It is your own money that you have full control of.
Very beautiful, bro. So you're saying now 10 years, 20 years into the future, when Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are more common, if I want to buy your suit, I can pay you in Bitcoin and you'll be like, yeah, cool, I received it. And you'll give me your suit. Rather than you having a debit card machine, me having a debit card, putting it into your machine, like from each other's phones or from some technology, we'll be able to transact between each other.
Yes, that can also happen. So there are various cases of crypto assets, right? So one, for example, Bitcoin is like an asset. Just like how you treat gold, Bitcoin is like that. It is a store of value, right? There are certain currencies that the government will develop. There's something that you might have heard about, CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. Now, CBDCs can replace the current financial rupee, right? That can be a digital rupee which runs on top of blockchain. Now, with blockchain, you will have full transparency of how the money is being used. Let's say there is a donation, right? With COVID, a lot of firms have raised donations. Now, if you want to see the entire ledger, how the money came, where it go, you will have full transparency of the entire system. That is what blockchain provides.
Got it. So again, I'll just make this even simpler for the end users. Basically, I've been consuming a lot of crypto content lately, and the understanding I got about blockchain was that, I'm not saying the government, but higher authorities have a lot of layers. So when you are trying to, say, transfer money from India to Bangladesh, it has to go through many, many, many layers. But with blockchain coming in, you can skip all those layers that you're going through and just take the easy route. from person A in India to person B in Bangladesh. Suppose I want to transfer money to Shakibul Hasan and I am sitting in Bombay. I'll just take Shakibul Hasan's ID and say, here, take the money. We're skipping all those layers of governments, all those layers of bureaucracy. And that's possibly why governments are a little afraid of cryptocurrency.
Yes, you're absolutely right. So this can be technically, in theory, it is possible. Right?
Because in that transfer where there it is going through many layers, even those people can make profits off the money transfer that you are making.
Yes.
Because at its core, human beings all want money for themselves.
Hmm.
So you are skipping that. You're saying, nahi, the money transaction is between Ranveer and Shakibul Hasan in Bangladesh, not all those layers of government officials and all that.
Right. So if we see how we transfer the money, right? Mm. If I do a UPI to you, or if I send $1,000 to someone in the US, it is not peer-to-peer. There are various middlemen involved. There are thousands of people sitting in physical bank branches who are making the transaction happen.
Mm.
And that takes a lot of time.
Mm.
That costs a lot of money.
Mm.
Now with blockchain, you can do all of that instantly, near instantly, and almost free of cost.
Mm.
So you don't need these middlemen. The system is designed in a way where you can transfer value efficiently, right? So the whole financial markets can improve, can become more efficient, not just efficient, but far more secured and cheaper also. So that will save billions of dollars to the government.
Mm.
Now talking about transferring money from one country to another, that is where regulations comes into picture.
Mm.
We don't want a world where people just send money to each other anywhere in the world, right? That is where regulation...
Because it can fuel terrorism. It can fuel like wrong things. That's why a lot of the public has a negative opinion on crypto. They think, yaar, if crypto becomes powerful, things like terrorism, things like crime also might become a possibility.
Right. But right now, if you look at the database, with crypto, less than 0.3% of the transactions are not being used in the right manner. What? Right? I mean, like if you look at fiat currencies, all of these activities still happen. Like with INR, with USD, that still happens. Crypto makes it more transparent. Now you can track the transactions. That's the positive of it.
Matlab, okay, let me just get this straight so that the users also understand.
Sure.
Say if I am buying your suit, okay? Someone who also owns Bitcoin in USA, who doesn't even know Sumit, who doesn't even know Ranveer, but because the data of Ranveer and Sumit and our transaction of me buying your suit is in India, that person sitting in US can actually view our transaction. Ki haan, theek hai, in dono ke beech transaction hui.
They'll not be able to see whether Ranveer and Sumit did the transaction, but they can see in the ledger that transaction happened at this particular timestamp.
Okay.
So it is secured, transparent, without revealing the identity of the people who are doing the transaction.
So if Manlo, like, let's take the case of someone sitting in Afghanistan wants money to buy guns or whatever, you know, if Al-Qaeda is sitting there and they have Bitcoin with them, they have cryptocurrency with them. If they are buying guns or bombs, obviously that's an expensive purchase. And they are, say, buying guns and bombs from, I don't know, maybe someone sitting in USA making guns and bombs. Now, that's a big purchase. So everyone who owns Bitcoin will know, okay, there is some purchase that's happened in Afghanistan, which is a big amount, which usually doesn't happen. There's something scary going on there. So now let's inform government authorities or whatever and send people to investigate ki ye kya hua, kyun hua, kahan hua.
Hmm. So the good thing here is that when we are using a cash, right, a 1,000-2,000 rupee note, there is no trace of it. Here you can completely trace how the money went. Kisne kisse kharida hai? Did it go to the second person? Wahan se kaise gaya hai? And what was the ultimate place where the funds are used? With this, with the right regulations, you can keep a complete check on the trace of the funds and see whether it was used in the right manner or not. That is where regulations will help the country to use the positives of the blockchain technology, to use the positives of this underlying trend that we are seeing. How can we make the current financial systems more efficient, keeping the bad actors out of the system?
So actually, you're saying that all the crypto officials like yourself, you're also someone who's leading the charge for crypto in India. We haven't actually introduced you on this podcast, bro. Quickly introduce yourself to the audiences. Who are you? What do you do?
Sure. So I'm an engineer turned entrepreneur. I have loved solving problems, doing experiments, taking risks in life, as you can see. During my college, I learned a lot of things about new technologies. Crypto was one of them. After that, I did my first job at Sony Japan. That's where I heard about Bitcoin for the first time. It is difficult. Understanding Bitcoin was difficult. I had a hard time. I left it. I did not invest. If I would have invested in 2014, I would be a millionaire by now, right? So I didn't invest, but then I felt that that's one of the things that I had. What if I have learned that time? Now we're in the same state, whether everyone is curious about what is Bitcoin, what is blockchain technology, and that's the thing that I want to solve. Like, how can we bring crypto to India because there's very little activity that's happening in the country. Whereas if you see the other countries, they are more progressive. They are adopting blockchain. They are building solutions. They are making their current systems more efficient.
They're making it Bitcoin friendly, crypto friendly.
Crypto friendly.
And I feel there is opportunity for India to grow here. And that's something you read on Twitter a lot, that every other country is figuring out, okay, how do we work with crypto? And in India, a lot of people, especially older people, are saying, nah, we don't want crypto, nahi chahiye, just because of a lack of understanding. So I hope actually this podcast helps solve that. If there are kids watching this, educate your parents in the same way. Educate people around you. So what we were talking about is that there are crypto officials like yourself. It's not an official term, but you are a crypto-based entrepreneur. I have two questions. One, just give the audience some perspective that if you had invested, say, around 1 lakh rupees in 2010 in crypto, in Bitcoin, how much would that be worth right now?
I think that would be worth more than 500 crores by now.
1 lakh rupees in 2010 would be worth more than 500 crores. I've read this American Twitter handle. He had started investing his dad's money in crypto. He thought he will create a pension fund for his dad. I think in 2012, 2013, he took some of his dad's money and said that let's just put it in crypto and see what happens. He's like, it blew up so much that it became his retirement fund and my retirement fund. So that's what India needs to understand, that these things are happening in the world. India needs that financial education when it comes to investing in mutual funds and the stock market. But this is modern day financial education. You need to see what the rest of the world is doing. Yeah. Coming to history, you know how they say that a lot of the countries in the medieval times, they thought about expansion. They thought about new technology. They thought about going and taking over other countries. Like, that's why the British ruled us. Before the British, the French and the Portuguese ruled us. Also, keep in mind, in South America, the ancient civilizations were completely destroyed because of the Spanish and their technologies. Whichever countries adopt new technologies become the kings of the next 100, 200 years. That's what India needs to understand.
That's what India needs to understand. If you look at the internet, right? In 1990s, there were companies. Right now, we are seeing Amazon. These are the companies that are built on top of internet. Internet was new 30 years back, right? People didn't know that we'll use apps like Uber, eBay to do the transactions. People, countries who adopted internet. Now, internet also had a lot of things. People could buy, you know, do wrong things on the internet. Now, people, countries regulated it. Countries tried to promote the use of internet within their people. And then now you could see billions of dollars worth of companies or trillions of dollars worth of companies coming out of just internet alone. India was a little bit behind in terms of adopting this technology. So what happened in India currently has 44 million IT developers, engineers. We are not that advanced in terms of creating these companies. Right now we are seeing the shift happening, but India has amazing set of talented people, right, who can build these companies leveraging technology. Right now blockchain is one such technology. India should not leave behind in that. You will see all of these blockchain protocols companies coming out of the other countries. Not as much happening in India because the understanding about this technology is fairly narrow in the country. So what we have done to solve that was we have launched a platform called DCX Learn, which allows any individual to learn crypto blockchain right from the basics.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your startup. What do you do specifically? What is CoinDCX?
So CoinDCX is the India's simplest way to invest into crypto assets. Okay. If you want to buy Bitcoin, you can buy Bitcoin as low as 1 rupee. So if you have 1 rupee, you want to invest 1 rupee into Bitcoin, you can do that via CoinDCX Go app. A lot of people have this confusion that, okay, if I want to invest in Bitcoin, but I don't have the money to buy 1 Bitcoin. That's actually not true.
One Bitcoin is worth how much in rupees?
Right now, it's roughly around 36 lakhs.
36 lakhs.
Yeah.
But you can also buy 1 rupee ka Bitcoin, which will be 0.00001 Bitcoin.
Yeah. Called like 30 Satoshis. So one Bitcoin has like 100 million parts to it.
Wow. Matlab, Satoshis?
Satoshi.
Satoshi is their paisa. Like our rupee versus paisa.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And you are actually through CoinDCX, you're also educating people about the use of Bitcoin. If you had to educate someone right now who's completely against Bitcoin, what would you say? Or completely against cryptocurrencies? Because also Twitter India is running a campaign, hashtag India wants Bitcoin. What are you guys fighting against? Is the government coming out with some kind of a policy to ban it? What's happening? Because even I have some of my money in Bitcoin.
So what has happened is in few years back when government was evaluating it, they were looking at Bitcoin as a currency, right, where people could use it as part of the payment systems. Whereas Bitcoin is not exactly that. Of course, it can help you transfer value. But if you look technically, it costs thousands of rupees to send Bitcoin from one person to another. That's technically not feasible, not scalable. So government have, like, 3 years back, 5 years back, there were websites which used to accept payment in Bitcoins. And of course, I mean, there can be bad things that can happen. But in the last few years, the role of Bitcoin as a currency has diminished. Now it is evolving more like an asset class. Now Tesla investing into Bitcoin, right? They don't want to send Bitcoins from to someone else. They just want to hold it.
So they invested $1.5 billion in Bitcoin, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. But, and that's with the intention of just, let's hold on to this money.
That's, let's hold on to that money and try to accumulate as much as possible. Right now, if you go 20 years back in time, where gold was, let's say, 1,000 rupees, and you know that gold is going to go this big, you would want to hold it, right?
Gold is worth how much right now? Like,
right now, I think it would be around 50 lakh rupees, 1 kg.
1 kg. And maybe long, long back, it was worth 1,000 rupees for or 1 kg.
Like 100 rupees also. Oh. Right? Gold has a long history. Gold was also 1 rupee at some point in time. Right? And it has evolved as more and more people start trusting in that, the value appreciates. Yeah. Why? Because gold is a supply constraint thing, right? You can't just make gold out of thin air.
Yeah.
Same as Bitcoin. Bitcoin is coded in a way where you can't mint more Bitcoins. That's how the system is designed.
So, you know, I just want to highlight something. The whole world is going digital in every possible way. We are entering a world of virtual reality probably in 10 years' time. Have you seen this movie Ready Player One?
No.
It's a movie about virtual reality and how social media will evolve into virtual reality at some point. So when I was starting on my career, everything was virtual. Everything was videos, Instagram posts. And all my relatives were like, why are you doing this virtual thing? It's not a real world thing. And I said, no, no, hold on. This will pay a lot of money at some point. And today when they find out, okay, how much we charge for an Instagram post or a YouTube video, then they're like, oh we wish we did this back.
Yeah.
This is that happening in the world of finance where everyone's like, no, no, stick to the analog stuff. Stick to the old school things. These are tried and tested. And the whole world of crypto is saying, wait, you don't know, the whole world is going digital. Hold on to this because this will be worth something in 10, 20 years.
Yes, we are moving to a digital economy. Whatever we used to do in the offline world, now most of the things have shifted online, right? When you're shifting online, you use a lot of data, right? And, you know, data is the new oil. If you are a country which has lots of oil reserves, you'll be super rich, right? If you are a company which has lots of data, companies like Google, Amazon, Facebook, they have tons of data. They can use that data to create profits, to create, use your data, your own data, what you are doing to show ads, right? So your data in the internet world is not secured, right? It needs to be. Your data should be with yourself, right? That's where blockchain comes into picture. And as we are moving in the world of digital, you know, some people say that Bitcoin is like the gold for the digital economy. In the offline world, we have gold, where we use gold as a store of value. In the internet world, we use Bitcoin as the store of value. Whatever we see in the offline world is now currently shifting using this technology in the internet world. Right now, we are using platforms like YouTube. Now, imagine a platform where you people are watching it and rather than YouTube taking the commission, all of that commission comes to you. So there's a good structure between the content consumers, content publishers, and the advertisers. And whole of the system can run without a company like YouTube.
Got it. So bro, tell me one thing. Now let's talk about the individual consumer, someone who wants to actually buy Bitcoin. There's two questions. One, is it safe for people to buy crypto right now? Because if the government bans it tomorrow, what happens to all that Bitcoin you own? What happens to your startup? I'd love to know that scenario also. Second, I'd love to know actually what and why people should buy it right now, with what intention. It's definitely a part of the portfolio, but are you also preparing for a future? So let's talk about that end consumer, someone who's watching this and saying, okay, I have some extra money lying around, even if it's 10,000 rupees lying around, but I want to put it in crypto. What should they be thinking? What should they be careful about?
Sure. So I think everyone should have Bitcoin as part of their portfolio simply because it's a very good asset to have for better portfolio diversification. Right now, we invest our money in a lot of markets and we don't know what can happen. So you need to diversify it so that you net make good returns of your money that you have invested in. Now, talking about India, yes, crypto is a new thing. And that's something that I also felt when I heard about Bitcoin for the first time, it was difficult to buy Bitcoin. Now things have changed. So the app that we were talking about sometime back, CoinD6 Go, that allows, it's just a matter of 5 minutes, you can purchase your first Bitcoin as low as 10 rupees.
What do you need? Like, you need to give your Aadhaar card details.
Yes, you need to do your KYC, just like you do in any other platform. So you do your KYC verification. Once you are done with that, you can deposit money from your bank account and purchase Bitcoin.
Mm.
Now that platform also allows you to store Bitcoin safely.
Mm.
So you don't need to put it in a cold wallet or somewhere outside. You can just put it in the system, and we as an exchange take care of those funds.
Mm.
Whenever you want to use it, you can sell it anytime you want.
Mm.
And then you want to withdraw it, you can also withdraw it to any other address that you want.
Got it. Beautiful. But again, about this whole thing about government saying, no, we are thinking of banning Bitcoin and all. What will happen to all the people who've already put money in Bitcoin?
Sure. So what is happening? There's a clear trend and shift. So I was on a panel with Mr. Subhash Garg, who was the former finance secretary. And they have mentioned that the understanding that the government had in the past, was it like a legal tender? Now, legal tender is something which is like Indian rupees, the note that we use. Bitcoin is not supposed to be a legal tender. Bitcoin is more like an asset class that you hold and invest in for a long term. Mm. So governments have also started realizing that it should be regulated, right? And all the RBI and all the government bodies outside, they have also regulated and recognized this as an asset class. In US, if companies like Tesla can invest in it, why are we stopping Indian companies or corporations to invest in an asset class like Bitcoin, which is the future of money, right? So that trend is shifting. I believe that our governments will also see and try to regulate it so that more companies can come out of blockchain technology. And India, right? For example, if India was given this opportunity to hold as much gold as possible, they would want to do it. Right now, this is an opportunity in front of us where Indians can buy Bitcoin so that if it becomes a good store of value, India, our GDP will increase, right? India should, asset appreciation, because of the asset appreciation, our wealth within the country will increase.
So, is it fair to say that Indians should take a little bit of a risk right now, forget about what's going to happen in the future, put some money in Bitcoin right now? Maybe the whole GDP increasing will give the government a reason to say, okay, let's listen to this India Wants Bitcoin hashtag and see what's happening.
Yes, I think everyone should have Bitcoin as a part of their portfolio. It can be 0.1%, 1%.
I agree with you. Like when you're saying that, that's what I would say also. If a young person asked me for financial advice, I'd say that put something in Bitcoin.
Yeah,
something.
And that's the trend that we are seeing. There are lots of people on our platform who have not invested in equity markets. They believe in Bitcoin. They believe that, okay, this is the future of money. I would want to put my money into Bitcoin. And that's the trend.
Risk hai to ishq hai.
Haan, risk hai to ishq hai.
No, but I agree with you. And especially if you're young, you have 80 years of your life left minimum with biohacking coming into play. I keep talking about biohacking a lot, but you have a long time left. You don't know where the world is going. You don't know if the whole world is going to get decentralized. If America, Europe, China, Japan, Australia, everyone starts using Bitcoin, the Indian government will obviously say, okay, everyone's using it. If we are going to be that world's economic superpower, we'll have to.
Yes.
So while there is a possibility of government banning Bitcoin, governments banning crypto, there is also a possibility of everyone going on that ship. And maybe at that point, Bitcoin's value will go 100 times of what it is right now.
Yeah.
So while it's at this stage, you should buy it.
Yes, you should buy it. And every government is regulating it, right? And governments will be forced to... I mean, you can't technically stop buying Bitcoin, or you can't technically stop, because it's not controlled by any centralized party, right? So there's no point banning it. I think the right approach would be to understand the technology and regulating it. Just like, what if India would have blocked internet 30 years back, right? We would be far, far behind in terms of technological
like
innovation.
Like North Korea.
Yeah.
Like we would be North Korea.
Yeah. So the world should be more open, open to new technologies.
Yeah. And I also feel that if we end up banning crypto, we are on path to becoming a North Korea in some way. Like, so it needs to be legal just to keep up with the rest of the world.
Yes.
When I look at the world map, I actually point out Scandinavian countries as probably the most advanced, both in terms of capitalism as well as just, people who have a great work-life balance, people who are very sorted in their head. Scandinavia is also backing crypto a lot. Norway, Sweden, all these places.
I think, I don't know the exact legality, but all the countries are open to it.
Mm.
No, India is going to be the first, if India bans it, India is going to be the first country to ban crypto.
Yeah, that's some dark times. Okay, I probably actually just want to end the basics episode right now. There's a lot more to talk to you about. To the end consumers, that's you guys, the listeners. In the next episode, we'll actually talk about how much money to put where, which cryptocurrencies to select. I'll also be revealing where I have put my own money and how to think about that process. What's the actual process? So watch out for part two. But before we go to part two, Sumit bhai, any last basic learning you want to add about cryptocurrencies? Because I feel like this episode explained what cryptocurrencies and blockchain is. Anything you want to add to this?
Sure. See, this is a new asset class. What is very, very important is to understand what this is all about, right? Before I started investing, I learned what Bitcoin is, what blockchain is, how a decentralized future is good for the overall humanity, right? I think if anyone is curious about learning more about it, there's a platform, D6Learn, it's free of cost. Anyone can go and start reading about it from the basics. Yeah. That's the first thing. Once you do that, you can also start taking some exposure into Bitcoin, starting with as low as 100 rupees, see how things change. And then gradually, based on the risk appetite, build it up from there. So one thing that you should also ensure that you don't put money in all the cryptos. There are some good projects out there are some bad projects. So you should very carefully choose which project you want to put money in, and then we'll cover more about it, which tokens are good, which crypto is good, in the next episode.
Yes. So this is what it is, man. This is what the Ranveer Show is. Taking 10 years of this man's knowledge, putting it into one episode of basics. Share this video, show it to your friends, show it to anyone who is against the idea of cryptocurrencies. Let's put education out there, not debating, not anger, not biases. Lots of older people, actually older Indians, are very against it. Matlab, the moment you'll say bit, they go like, Bitcoin. So I hope that this podcast changes it. And I hope that the next one gives you actual feasible, actionable steps. Thank you, Sumit. We will see you in part two.
Thank you, Ranveer.